I'm speaking with Amy Dabbs. Amy and I met when she was a horticulture agent, and I was too. And we both are doing different things now. Amy, tell us about your new job and why it brings such joy to your life.
Thanks, Amanda. So I am still doing horticulture work, but I'm now statewide and I'm coordinating school and community gardening.
And there, see, I can remember when there would always be a teacher who would call up the extension office and want to start a garden, and it was usually one person, and it'd be too big, and they would get, worn out, and it just seemed like, and then that person would leave, and then they'd have this place that was full of weeds. And is that kind of what led to the need to have kind of a framework and some guidance for these teachers?
It absolutely did. One spring many years ago, we had a little water cooler conversation, and several agents down in the Charleston office, we counted up at least, just to our memory between us, about 40 to 50 calls that we had gotten in the last, 6 months about teachers wanting to garden and really not knowing where to start. And you're right. It often starts with kind of a really big idea, with a little, maybe a little lag of knowledge or, sort of a lack of confidence about how to get started with a vegetable garden for students to grow their own food in. And so, yeah, we were able through some initial funding from Boeing South Carolina in partnership with the College of Charleston back in 2012. We were able to start a school gardening for South Carolina educators program. And it kind of pulled some of the best elements, as you mentioned, from the Master Gardener program. We had just moved the course online back then. And so that was sort of fresh in our mind. And, most teachers are very busy people. They have a lot on their plate, and we really wanted to just break it down for them, where they could garden successfully with their students with as little guesswork as possible. That was the main goal. So that's how we started.
And Amy, you first had to come up with a curriculum that would fit school standards and also incorporate the horticultural basics so that they could be successful. So how did y'all meld those two needs?
Well, it all came together, fortunately. We Zach Snipes on our commercial horticulture team and I worked together on some seasonal planting guides and calendars that are more like the technical guides. So teachers sign up for the online course, they get two books. They get the seasonal planting guide and calendar, and then they get a curriculum. It's a K-8 curriculum. Called STEM in the Garden, and it is aligned to South Carolina state teaching standards for grades kindergarten through eighth grade. Although it has been utilized by teachers in other grades who've been able to kind of make it fit for older kids or younger kids, if they are trying to work something in. And so far, the response has been amazing. Teachers across the state, we've had almost 1,250 teachers take the course. And the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And then so it's been a good class.
Explain the course framework and how it's offered,
Okay.
and what all is involved in that, please, Amy, and what the cost is.
Okay. So the cost of the class is $75 per one teacher, and they would get both books, the planting guide and the curriculum. What we really prefer, however, is a group or a team of three teachers to take the course. We want to build sustainability into a school garden from the beginning. And everyone is aware that, often teachers are given job opportunities, maybe in a different school in the district or even across the state or elsewhere. We're in a pretty transient place. And so we really want to build that sustainability in so that if one teacher leaves, or an administrator or a school nurse or whoever it is, all those people take the course too, that we don't lose the knowledge from that garden and it kind of fall apart and become a weedy mess out back.
So you give a discount and I think really encourage at least three teachers, is that correct?
Three teachers can take the class and each get a set of books for $175. So it's a little price break in there, and it's really, intended to build that sustainability into the program.
And how is the class, they take it online and then have some hands-on instruction, or and how long does it take? Can they usually fit it in their schedule?
Exactly. Yes. And so far, yes. It's a 5-week class. It is asynchronous, self-paced. So modules open every week, and each week we hit a different topic. Teachers or educators who are in the course will do a reading, watch a video, answer a discussion question, maybe do something, you know, at the school, like complete a checklist that we have in the workbook that they can go through and make sure they've sort of thought through the process. And then we culminate with an in-person training. And this is almost a day-long workshop. So much fun. It's really a confidence builder. It's a great time. We get together and we love to see the faces of these teachers that we've, you know, only seen online for 5 weeks. But I think what it does is it gives everybody the clear understanding that Clemson Extension is there for them. There are so many resources available to school gardeners across the state, not just within our organization. We often have guest speakers from different groups around the state, South Carolina Farm Bureau, Ag in the Classroom. Their wonderful coordinator, Tracy Miss Kelly, is a frequent guest speaker because teachers love to incorporate reading into their school garden curriculum. And she's got so many agriculturally accurate books that work so well with school garden topics. We also invite Ben Cease from the South Carolina Farm to School program. He's with the Office of School Nutrition, and he comes and talks about grant opportunities across the state and beyond, you know, even larger, these bigger regional grants that are available. And we just, you know, the 4-H team is always in attendance. There's always a 4-H extension agent at one of our workshops to really help teachers understand that, one, there are so many resources available, and two, to model some of the curriculum. You know, we actually will bring worms from our worm compost bin, and, you know, that's a big part of our curriculum, is we really want to kind of teach those cycles of life within and without of the garden, the connections.
Teachers have such a hard time even getting paper towels sometimes for the classroom, and I think y'all have assembled a really remarkably foolproof system. I believe that you can deliver a kind of a train of raised beds that fit together. You don't even need a screwdriver. And then a remarkable assembly of the products to fill this bed with. And you even teach lasagna gardening. So let's talk a little bit about how these boxes fit together, and then what all you provide the school, the amendments and all that, and then the lasagna gardening aspect of it, which is just a wonderful way to garden.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been, you know, really one of the biggest obstacles, as you mentioned, you know, sourcing materials. A lot of times educators or even school districts will get grants, but finding the time to research the right materials, you know, get them ordered in and have them delivered to the school or obtained for the school can be just so time consuming. So we thought, you know, one of the things we can do, since we're out in the county, you know, during the work week, we can put together a kit that is, like you said, very simple. We have raised beds. There are 4 raised beds that fit together end to end to make a 16-foot long bed. And within those 4 beds, the crops that are planted in them are rotated, and you know, so that we have as successful a garden as we can. It includes all the fill, and as you mentioned, we do teach lasagna gardening or sheet composting. And this is so fascinating because we're basically teaching kids how to make their own soil, and they get to even save food scraps to put in the layer to show how we can recycle nutrients. Things that would normally go into the landfill can become part of the food system that they are participating in. So it has just been, it's been very enlightening. A lot of the teachers say, I never thought about this, you know, as being a way to garden. And so then they'll go back and do it at their own homes, which, as an extension agent, you know, that reach is just, you know, it's incredible when somebody takes something you teach them in one moment and applies it down the line. You know, that is exciting.
And with the planting guides, y'all even source the transplants and yes, have them delivered to the school at the appropriate time of year, I believe.
Yes, we have. We have 2 amazing groups that we work with. We work with Botanical Interest Seeds and Bonnie Plants, and they're just so generous to donate materials to our school garden program. We pull out all the seeds that the teacher or the school garden will need, and we send those for the entire year in one package. We deliver transplants 4 times a year. And Amanda, I have to tell you, I cannot do that. We could not do this without everybody in this system, from the horticulture agents, you know, in the county offices, the 4-H agents, the rural health extension agents, the master gardeners, pretty much anybody I can rope into delivering a little basket of kale, lettuce, whatever it is, to a school near them, they do. And we've really been overwhelmed by the response to these requests that nobody resists the opportunity to drop this off, because you just get like this huge satisfaction from dropping these plants off. And we include a planting sheet with each crop, you know, reminding them what bed it goes in so that their crop rotation stays intact. Little tips and hints, you know, of what to do. And it's been a very fun project to run. But more importantly, when we get the emails from the teachers of the crop that just got harvested, and the looks on the kids' faces, I mean, they grow the most amazing carrots in those raised beds. Because you know, South Carolina soils are not always great for carrots, especially those clayey soils. So when they pull these rainbow carrots out of the ground, I mean, it's amazing. And they do some really fun things with them too.
Well, what does happen to the vegetables when they're harvested? Do they go to the cafeteria? Do the children take them home? Or does it differ from school to school?
Yes to all of that. We have examples of all of that and more. You know, we have one really great teacher here in the Lowcountry who, you know, of course, she harvested the carrots with her kids, but she looked at all those green, you know, ferny tops and thought, what can we do with this? You know, this would be wasteful just to throw this away. So she made carrot top pesto with her students. And she said they loved it. And then they used the carrot as the dipper. Oh. And they just went crazy for it. So she has actually turned her classroom, her science lab, into a kitchen classroom, because isn't cooking science, you know? So, and the kids are much more interested in learning about things they can eat than, you know, some boring old lab experiment. So we have everything in between. A lot of schools use some of the produce in the cafeteria. They do taste tests, especially with the younger kids. They do the yum yup test, where they do smiley faces on a graph, you know, or a frowny face if they don't like it. But it's been exciting to see kids try something that they've grown, maybe something that they wouldn't normally eat, like kale or, you know, radishes or things like that. And we have one volunteer who said that he went out and was with a group, and this little kid walks right up to a carrot, yanked it out of the garden, wiped it on his pants, and chowed down. And you know, of course, we want them to wash the food before they eat it, but he must have really known that was going to be a tasty radish.
Oh, that is exciting. And Amy, you started this when you were at the botanical garden. You've been working with children and gardening for a long time. And I know it really is an important part of your soul and your consciousness. What do you hope 20 years from now, some of these children who participated, what's your dream for them, Amy?
Well, my dream for them is that they will enjoy gardening as much as you and I do. And all the people that we are around all the time. I mean, we're around a bunch of gardening nerds all the time who just, you know, all we talk about is plants. But on a bigger scale, really, you know, the horticulture and agriculture industry is aging. We're not able to fill all the jobs that are out there, which is a real shame, because you know as well as I do that those are some really good jobs. They're very fulfilling. People who are in this industry always have jobs. We always have work. It may be backbreaking on some days and hot, but usually it's very rewarding and can be quite lucrative depending on what, you know, you end up doing. So I really just want kids to understand that there are opportunities out there. And I think that starts with, you know, planting a seed and really being kind of overtaken by that moment of awe where you realize that seed equates to that rainbow carrot, you know, that you did that and you can do it for yourself. You know, it's very empowering to be able to grow your own food, and particularly for our students across the state and beyond who maybe are not in control of their day-to-day circumstances. You know, maybe there's not always food at the ready. I mean, how incredible would that be to be able to go home and grow food just like the teachers are doing? You know, they're taking these lessons home, they're gardening for their own families, and we hope that the kids will start to do the same thing. So We are seeing a huge, I think a huge interest in gardening, and particularly right now, you know, people are really responding to, you know, pressures and, you know, stressors in the world by gardening. And, you know, just from a physical and nutrition level, but all the way to more, like you mentioned, a more spiritual and just mental health release is to be able to go out and garden.
Well, and we have so many organizations that plant a road for the hungry. Mm-hmm. And with this knowledge, we can actually give some people a way to have food security that yeah. might not have been available to them otherwise. I just think that the aspects of it are so far-reaching, Amy, in every aspect. I mean, gardening is the first thing that we did as humans. I mean, after hunting, I guess.
And, exactly.
And I don't want to teach hunting, so although there are times when that's necessary too. But Amy,
I'm a little too slow to track down my food. So.
Yeah. I need my carrots to hold still. Amy, if people want to know more about this fascinating program, what's the best way to learn and get involved?
Amanda, they can email me at adabs@clemson.edu, and I will get right back with them.
All righty. Well, I hope that there'll be a lot more hands in the dirt in the days and years to come in South Carolina schools. And thank you and your team for all this great work.
Thank you, Amanda.